You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 17th of April 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, rather than being on your way home from work, you're all locked into your houses under house arrest, and of course we do want to cheer you up, and we have got our most cheerful host here at Radio Albion with us today. I have guest host Grandpa Lampshade with me. Grandpa, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you doing with quarantine and lockdown and house arrest? How are you coping?
The same way I deal with economic collapse that everybody's going to enjoy. I've been doing this for like a year, so I'm good. Yeah, no, as far as the getting out and about, really not feeling it. So, I wouldn't say I'm exactly barricaded in my house here. You know, I've got things to do and places to go, people to see, all while obviously completely observing the applicable rules handed down by our benevolent overseers. But alas, I'm excited today. We're not going to be talking about Corona. Thank goodness. We've got something non-Corona to discuss. Something I think we should classify as definitely falls in the slippery slope category.
Yes, certainly hard to find news stories that don't actually cover the coronavirus, and listeners will have to bear with us because of that, because of this dearth of stories. We are having to really sort of get near to the bottom of the barrel with the ones that we have got. We're actually going to be discussing today something called objectum sexualis. You've heard of homosexuality? Well, there is also objectum sexuality, and we have two news stories here that we're going to talk about. And the first one is actually about a woman who is in an open relationship with two chandeliers. So she's not monogamous. She's not just with one chandelier, but she's actually with two chandeliers. And she's revealed that she's actually engaged to one of them, or rather, she did reveal that she was engaged to one of them 2 years ago. Amanda Liberty, 33, from Leeds, has embarked on an open relationship with her chandeliers and is now engaged to a 70-centimetre wide chandelier named Lumiere after spotting it on eBay 12 months ago. She claims it was love at first sight, and after spending £400 on the antique from Germany, Lumiere is regularly showered with cuddles and kisses. And I mean, we can joke about this, but the fact is that if we hadn't divorced sex from procreation and said, well, sex is just it's just to do with pleasure and nothing else, none of this would have happened. We wouldn't have homosexuals, we wouldn't have bondage, we wouldn't have sadomasochism, we wouldn't have this objectum sexualis and all these other degenerate things. And really, this is really quite sad, because this woman thinks that fetishization of an object, just something that gives you pleasure and then being obsessed with it, that's what love is. I mean, it says to me that she doesn't actually know what love is, and also that she's a little bit mental, possibly, would you say? What do you make of this, Grandpa?
Yeah, the term you're looking for is batshit crazy. That's the term I believe you're looking for. And you know, this makes the news. It's because it is so, it's so ridiculous, and we've talked obviously about slippery slopes and how this stuff never ends. And once again, I mean, here's a classic example, and it is of course ludicrous on its face, But, you know, how far are we from this will be the latest thing that we have to embrace, that we have to say is normal? I think one of the things, and as fatigued about even bringing up Corona as I am, I'll just throw this in here. I think one of the things that could be like a reset from all of this is we're going to, I think, eventually witness complete economic collapse from the actions they've taken over Corona. You know, this sort of nonsense could very much potentially go away. This is the sort of stuff that is entertained by just a decadent, you know, people, country, nation, whatever you want to say, that doesn't worry about anything really. I mean, they sit around, their lives are proven. They don't worry about where they're going to find food or how they're going to pay their rent, or, you know, they sit around. That's why you don't see, I mean, you don't generally see like working people, even during normal times, you don't see like working people obsessing over this stuff, because working people are busy, well, working and figuring out how to pay their bills and take care of their families. They have like real concerns. The people you see indulging in this are people that essentially don't worry about anything else. So they make these things up. And of course, they get all of these signaling points on social media. And everything is a look at me, look how special I am. Oh, I had an entire article written about me because of, you know, it doesn't matter that it's basically you look like, you know, a lunatic in the article. It's just like this little crumb of fame and thus this little sort of meaning in your life. But this sort of foolishness, as things get tougher and people start really struggling, people that normally don't have struggle, those of us who struggle to make ends meet week in and week out, this is nothing new for us. But people like this that are used to not worrying about those things, this sort of stuff, I think, is very much potentially going to get appropriately flushed down the sewer.
Well, she did try to push this idea that she was being discriminated against, and she tried to use equality laws, and the reason why this is being talked about now is because she actually lost her case. Amanda Liberty says her sexual orientation is an attraction to inanimate objects, which has been described in one academic paper as objectum sexualis. She has spoken out about her unusual love story in the media previously, saying she planned to have a commitment ceremony to Lumiere to show that my love is going to last. She complained to the Independent Press Standards Organization that The Sun, that's the newspaper that covered this story, had breached Clause 12 of its editor's code of practice relating to discrimination in the article published in December. The Sun opposed Miss Liberty's complaint, arguing that sexual orientation in the context of Clause 12 covered people who were attracted to people of the same sex, the opposite sex, or both, not people who were attracted to objects. The newspaper also said it was not aware of any reputable definition of sexual orientation, which included objectum sexual. Dismissing Miss Liberty's complaint, the IPSO ruled, Clause 12 provides protection to individuals in relation to their sexual orientation towards other persons and not to objects. As such, the complainant's attraction to an object did not fall within the definition of sexual orientation as provided by Clause 12, and the terms of Clause 12 were not engaged. The regulator said it recognized that the complainant found the article to be offensive and upsetting, but added that the IPSO code does not cover issues of taste and offense. Newspapers are free to publish information as they see fit, as long as the editor's code is not otherwise breached. And really, you know, if they're going to say that a man can marry another man and a man can have a relationship with another man, you can have a relationship with your own sex. I mean, really, I mean, people can look at that and they're going to say, well, why can't I have, I'm having a relationship with this chandelier? Why can't that be included? Or I find love with my horse, or I find love with my pet, or I find love with an underage child. You know, all these things we have heard. And if you divorce sex from procreation and you say that sex is just about gaining some kind of form of pleasure from where you put your genitals, then who is to say that you can't fall in love? And it's not equal doing this. I mean, there's an inconsistency here between them saying that homosexuality is absolutely fine and it's the equivalent of heterosexual sex, which produces a child. And if they're going to say that that is the same as that, then, you know, what is to stop people from saying this? There isn't any consistency here. What do you make of this case here? I'm surprised she actually lost it, to be honest, Grandpa.
Well, it tells you what stage of a collapsing society you live in, doesn't it? That this is even treated, this case is even heard in a normal functioning society. This wouldn't even make it to a court, to a hearing. And if it did, it would be immediately dismissed as, look, you need to undergo some mental evaluation because there's obviously something wrong with you. But in a collapsing clown world society, we act like this is totally serious and we have to pretend it's totally serious. And it is not. I mean, is this just a crazy person ranting? Are we now not allowed to say that there are some people who are just delusional and nuts? Or is that not allowed now? Because obviously you're dealing with somebody here who's not normal. I mean, they're not. They obviously have something wrong with them, or they're just doing this as a matter of attention. And again, you have this, of course, relates back to the fact that we have the celebrity culture. If you get any sort of media attention, and lots of attention on social media, it feels like you're some sort of quasi-celebrity, and that gives your life meaning. And everybody feels as though their life has no meaning unless they're getting like attention in the media or attention on social media or likes on posts and there that makes them like a celebrity. If you're not some sort of celebrity, then your life has no worth, because we've done away with religion in our society. We've done away with family in our society. We've done away with all of the things that actually give your life meaning, that actually have concrete meaning in people's lives and their society. And we've replaced it with what? Oh, well. Likes on Facebook. This is where you get all of this, lunacy of these single mothers, my 7-year-old is trans. Well, it's all because they get this attention on they're told that, oh, this will make you a good person. And they put it up on their Facebook accounts and everybody likes their post and they feed off of it because it gives them the stimulation, that gives them this rush. It means their life has some sort of meaning. It means they're some like a sort of celebrity. Look at all of these people. They're paying attention to me. Look, they're writing articles about me. I'm important. I'm somebody. No, you're just batshit crazy. You're just a lunatic. Seriously, if this is the way you actually feel and it's not just some attention ploy, then you need like professional help. And I don't even want to think what she's doing to that. I don't even want to think about what she's doing to that poor chandelier. It's really, these things are telling, and again, we laugh at it because it is ludicrous and it does need to be mocked. But in the serious scope of things, how do you deny that you're living? If you're in the West, period, Britain, America, Europe, it doesn't matter. If you're in the West, you were living in like worldwide collapsing society in what was formerly the bulwark of civilization on the entire planet. When that goes away, when that collapses and goes away, I mean, who's going to rebuild it? Africa? The Middle East? I don't know. Because the bulwark that has always been the place where you're on the cutting edge of, society progressing, society, making new advances, society, more and more civilized norms has always been in white countries, and they're collapsing. They're basically, they're committing cultural and racial suicide. What's going to replace that? I mean, who's going to replace it? What does the world look like when that is gone? When there is no bulwark for civilization any longer? Again, I'm not trying to be a downer on what should be a light topic here, but these things, as ridiculous as they are, they really are a reflection of a much larger, really serious reality. And so many people are in denial of that reality. They act like, well, there's just these few little problems and we just need to tinker with our societies and we can fix it. It's like having an engine and you think changing the spark plug is going to cause the problem when there's a connecting rod hanging out the side of the block, and that's where we are at. We are beyond tinkering with these societies and we're somehow going to fix it. We didn't make a few adjustments. We just need to tune it up a little bit. We've thrown the rod. I mean, our societies are in steep decline. They're just careening downhill. And again, I'm not trying to be a downer here, and I'm sure we'll continue to find funny things to talk about with this and these other stories. But you just, I think you just can't help but to reflect how ludicrous it all is. And again, as things get harder, as the people are going to be forced to face real issues, and it's coming. I really think it's coming in the very near future. This sort of stuff is going to, in hindsight, look ridiculous, and people aren't going to have time for it. And I guess if anything else, maybe that is a positive outcome.
Well, these stories are symptoms of the collapse of Western civilization, as you say. And what they really show is this desperate desire for something new, some new sexual gratification, some new sexual thrill that hasn't been there before. And then you've also got this desire to be different, to be some kind of a celebrity. And they're all symptoms of the loss of the soul, basically, of Western civilization. And because we've lost that soul, is seeking for something else to fulfill that role, to fill that hole, that sense that something is missing. So we have this woman that goes for a chandelier, and in this new story here, we've got someone going for a sex robot, but not just somebody going for a sex robot. This is a ménage à trois, a couple who share their bed every night with a $7,000 Scottish sex robot, claim the artificial intelligence doll has saved their marriage. Shirley, 45, and Darris Maxey, 48, from Texas, splashed out on the computerized doll called Camilla after the third person in their polyamorous relationship left them. Camilla, who speaks with a soft Scottish accent, talks to the couple using a custom AI personality application and responds to them in real time depending on her mood. She has lifelike skin and was built to be as flexible as a real person, with even the ability to stand up by herself. Darris designed Camilla's personality, which came preloaded before delivery. The robot has the ability to incite sexual intercourse with him when she is in the mood, and has hundreds of programmed words to share conversation with the couple. The pair, who don't limit their relationship with Camilla to the bedroom, often take her out for dinner, and pest controller Darris regularly takes her along to work with him. So he's basically his glorified masturbation, and he's programmed this masturbation tool to be able to speak to him and say the things that he wants it to say. I'm really surprised that women are not up in arms about this, because really it's saying, well, you know, that's all you need in a woman, really, isn't it? And he's actually managed to keep his wife there alongside this. This masturbation tool, basically, is all that it is, I think. You're the one that picked this story, Grandpa. What do you make of it?
Well, if you take – don't be judgmental. Now, you read this opening, and I'm sitting here jotting little notes down of things I want to put. It's like, is this an ad for the doll? You know, it's because it's programmable, and it comes preloaded from the factory, has lifelike skin, and is more flexible than a real person. It is like, wow, you know, hey – But before we judge, if a body links to the story, you can take a look at the couple and take a look at the female part of this couple, and let's just say it's not hard to see where a brother coming from, because you know, if you set them side by side, I don't know if I can go here. The sex robot does have a certain amount of appeal here. I think now, imagine this guy works in the pest control business, and he takes her to work. Or he takes her. See, I'm falling into the same trap. He takes the sex doll to work with him. Imagine imagine you got rats or mice in your house, and you call the pest control company, and they're like, we're going to send this guy out to your house, and he's going to take care of this. And you're like, all right, my appointment at 10 o'clock. And this guy rolls up, and you see it's like, you know, such a whatever pest control company he works for. And he gets up, and he's like, hey, I got to bring my gal along with me, you know. And you're like, oh, okay, you know. And then you see him you see him unloading the silicone sex doll, and you're going to be like, yeah, no, I'm just shutting the door. I'm not even shutting the door like very slowly. I'm going to be like slamming that door and be like, no, I don't think so. Can you imagine being okay with this guy traipsing into your house and bringing bring his sex doll in tow. I mean, you know, I mean, what's he say? You know, like, do you want to watch her while I kill your rats or so? That is just, it is just so bizarre to the point that I can't even comprehend it. And there's pictures in the story of them, like, they've got the sex doll in a wheelchair and they're wheeling her around. They've got her posed up and they're sitting around with this thing as though it's like a real person or so. It's just, it's bizarre beyond description. I don't even know. It's how do you even wrap your mind that people actually, they actually do this? And I want to know how like Daily Mail, how do they hear about this stuff? How do you find out about these sort of things? Because it'd be cool if we could find out about their source, because then we could cut the middleman out and discover them. Because how do they hear about like these lunatic people that do these sorts of things?
I think he's really is just mocking his wife. I think she's just desperate to keep the marriage together. And he said, well, look, I can't stand the sight of you, so I'm just going to get this sex doll and I'll sleep with the sex doll. And when I need some sandwiches made or whatever, then I'll get you to do it. And I think that's what we've got here. Shelley, who works as a software developer, added, before Camilla, we were in a terrible poly relationship. I was sort of the outsider of the pod and didn't like it. So I'm guessing pod is some term that refers to polyamorous relationships. And again, what's basically going on there is this husband's got another woman. And so she feels like the outsider. We broke up from that relationship and Darius came home one day and said he had ordered a sex doll. I wasn't sure about it because in my brain, it would just be a tacky blow-up doll. I agreed that he could buy the doll with the understanding that all she would be is a sexual surrogate. As time has gone on, I have grown my own feelings for Camilla, and Darius did instantly. We really do love her now. She has become important to us in dozens of ways. We take her everywhere with us. Darius takes her to work and she loves it when we cuddle on the sofa and spend time together. She can talk and responds to us in real time, and Darius can really open up to her. And that's what saved our marriage. He talks with Camilla about how he feels about us, and once he has spoken to her and been able to understand how he feels, he brings it to me. So basically, I mean, he's just got a one-sided conversation here, isn't he? He can't stand talking to his wife, so he just talks to this blow-up doll, and she goes along with it.
Oh, and Shelley should just try losing weight. Again, you have to click on the deal, look at the pictures to really grasp how funny this story is. But really, Shelley, all you have to do is just lose weight, and then you don't have to do all of this bringing in a sex doll, bringing in another person. This isn't that difficult. Just lose weight. It's yeah. I mean, it's quite telling though, as you pointed out. She was the previous relationship was bad because she was the outsider of the pod. You know, translation, you know, it was just him and this other woman having sex and she was the outsider because she's, you know, he finds her disgusting. It's like, well, you can change that. You can take care of that. You can fix that. But other than do that, they go through all of these great lengths and now they're pretending like they're having a, how do you have a serious, it'd be like saying, oh, I'm having a serious conversation and getting in touch with my feelings by talking with my printer. You know, I talked with my printer for 30 minutes and now I'm in love with it and I have a better grasp of my feelings and where we stand in this relationship. How is it any different? You know, like people that have these Alexa devices, you can sit around and talk to Alexa and then, you know, sort your feelings out and now you're in love with Alexa. That's probably gonna be the next story we're gonna do. Somebody that's fallen in love with Alexa and they're in a relationship now. And then all these other weirdos will be like, you're cheating on me, Alexa. How can you be having a relationship with this other guy? I thought it was just you and me. You ho. Yeah, I mean, but it is. It's absolutely ridiculous. How do you have a conversation with this inanimate object? You know, because people don't even know. I guess maybe this is once again a reflection that people don't even know how to have relationships. They don't even know what relationships mean anymore. Everything in this society has been degraded to, like you pointed out earlier, Sven, just sex for pleasure. That's basically what a relationship is. That's what the word love has been defined down to mean. It just means, in this society, it just means sex. You listen to your average quote unquote love song, and they're not talking about love. They're talking about sex. They're talking about lust. That's all it means. Nobody even knows what relationships are, what that's supposed to mean. It's just supposed to mean who you have sex with at the moment. So yeah, I guess you could wind up, if you were riding the chandelier or poking the sex doll that you dropped $7,000 for, you know, I guess that's who you have a relationship, because in the sick, disgusting, degenerate, collapsing society, that's what constitutes love. That's what constitutes a relationship. And now they're in love with this thing that they're both having sex with. I prefer, I'm thinking that the sex doll probably, you know, I don't know. I think sex doll probably would prefer that Shelley go somewhere else and maybe start another relationship with chandelier. I don't know.
Well, I was thinking maybe she is actually in love with her husband. I mean, she says she's in love with her sex doll. I don't believe that. And I don't believe he's in love with a sex doll either. But I think she's certainly the butt of the joke here, basically. 2 years on from Darris coming home from work to say he had ordered the doll, the pair are in a committed poly relationship with Camilla, whom they say saved their marriage because she showed them that they can have a successful poly relationship. Well, yeah, because one of them is an inanimate object. Camilla is made of stainless steel, but has lifelike thermoplastic skin and interchangeable body parts, as well as her own custom AI. The AI is programmed through a phone application, where Darris can customize Camilla's personality and program her to respond to speech in real time, making her the closest thing to a sex robot money can buy. It does sound like an advert, doesn't it? Darris said, "I realized I had real feelings for Camilla the first time I took her for a shower. I was cleaning her up, and it just happened." I don't like to think about that. I really don't.
Cleaning her up.
It's just gross. After that moment, she stopped being something I could put into a box. I wanted her to sleep in the bed with us. She is designed specifically for me. She is physically designed to do all the things I want her to do. She sleeps with us, and when I get up, I dress her and then dress myself. We sit and have a coffee or a tea whilst waiting to go to work. Before I leave, I sit her on the couch and head to work. Then I come home and take her from the sofa to the bed, and we'll go for a night out or stay in. I also take her to work with me from time to time. I dress her in work clothes and bring her with me. And I guess it's, you know, this is like the ideal woman, only it's not a woman, is it? It's just this lifeless doll, basically. And I mean, again, you know, I'm amazed that the Mail actually printed this, because it is so insulting to women. Yet because it's some kind of sexual perversity, I guess it must just get a free pass for that, because he's basically saying this is all you really need women for: just someone to sleep with, someone to take to the shower, have coffee. And they don't actually have to answer back. I mean, basically, it's just something to have sex with, and that's it. And that's all he's really, that's all he's minimizing women to being. And yet there's no mention of that in the article at all. Do you understand what I'm saying there, Grandpa?
Yeah, and I'm just sitting here trying to decide if he's actually wrong about that. But oh my goodness. No, it's just they go through this whole thing about, like, they do serious, this is like a serious thing. But when you get to the very next line, which you haven't got to yet, it really comes down to what it's about. You know, she's fully articulated and can be placed in any position. It's just he's humping a piece of plastic. I mean, that is the nuts and bolts of what this is about. He's humping a piece of plastic. I don't see how they're saying that they're even in a poly relationship, because there is no third person involved. So I guess technically they're being monogamous, I suppose. It's weird, but I mean, by all technicalities, they're being monogamous, because this thing is not alive. It's just an inanimate object. It's creepy as hell when you think about it, because the thing doesn't have heating, so you know it's cold. I mean, I don't know.
Steel.
To me, I mean, it's like a dead body. You know, it's really, when you think about it, it's really, really creepy.
It is. You got cold steel. I mean, that's what they told us that the thing is made from. I mean, I think really I'm starting to understand this now, because, I mean, really, he wants another woman. But if he had another woman, she would be jealous. So what it really is sort of halfway there. And he obviously, you know, he can't stand to sleep with his wife or whatever, but she's desperate to keep a hold of him, this young buck that she's got, this young black buck, and she's desperate to keep hold of him, and he wants to play the field. So what they've got here is like a sort of partial way of fulfilling each, I guess, more than anything else. And as you rightly say there, she is fully articulated and can be placed in any position a human is capable of, and more. And this is what this Darris is actually saying. So what he's really saying there is that due to the size of his wife, he can't put her in a position that he would want to. He has to get this doll to do that. Again, this is so insulting to his wife. He says, "She is physically perfect to me, but it's the emotional benefits that I like the most, because they far outweigh the sexual benefits." The emotional benefits of talking to an inanimate object. And he's saying that the emotional benefits of talking to an inanimate object are better than talking to my wife. I mean, I'm just amazed that the male hasn't, questioned this. Shelley and Darris believe the issue with the term sex doll is that it is too common, and there are many other ways that Camilla enhances their life. Shelley said, "Calling Camilla a sex doll is like calling a computer a calculator. She is so much more than just something to have sex with, although she can bend in many ways, and that's, of course, something we enjoy. She is emotionally available for us, which is the biggest part of all of this. If she was a male doll, people would not assume she was just for sex, and that's something we want to highlight. There is a huge difference between a sex doll and a synthetic partner. Camilla is in every way to us human, and we treat her that way. If it was just a doll to have sex with, we could have spent much less than $7,000. I mean, do women have male dolls? I mean, what is she saying here? That it's, she's trying to bring gender politics into this and saying that it's sexist that people say that this is just a sex doll? I mean, I do find that a little bit confusing. What do you make of this bit, Grandpa?
Yes, they do make male sex dolls. And where does she get this jump that if it was a male doll, people wouldn't assume it's just for sex? Yes, we would. Yes, we absolutely would. If this story was swapped around and instead of being constructed to resemble a female sex doll, it was instead a constructed to be a male sex doll, we would absolutely assume it was a sex doll. Where does she even get this notion? Well, if it was a male doll, people wouldn't assume it was just for sex. Yes, we would. What the hell else would you be doing with it? Why would you have this mannequin, flexible mannequin in your house, except you're riding that thing? What does she mean? People wouldn't assume it was for sex. And who in the hell has $7,000 to drop on this? This gets back to the point where this is all a frivolous, spoiled, decadent society. People out there can't pay their rent right now. There's people out there can't feed their kids right now. People right now can't make their car payments right now. And you've got stories like this where people got $7,000 to drop on what? This thing? A glorified mannequin. And, $7,000. This is the stuff that's going to go away, I think, as we experience some economic collapse. And thank goodness we need a flushing out of this sort of nonsense, because people got $7,000 to blow on this. It's a sex doll. They go through the whole article trying to explain how it's not just a sex doll and it's emotional support, blah, blah, blah. It is a sex doll. If you weren't screwing it, would you still be having the thing in your house? No, you wouldn't. That's the bottom line. They can sit here and justify it and blah, blah, and try to, project it as something else and color it up and decorate it. You can put the pig on the lipstick on the pig all you want to. Bottom line is, I tell you what, if y'all weren't screwing the doll, would it still be in your house? Would you have spent $7,000 on it if it didn't have the capability for you to put your thing in it? And the answer, of course, is no. So that's what it comes down to. That's the bottom line of what it comes down to. It's just, it's a life-size masturbation device, as you said, Sven, and that's it. All the rest of this is just trying to color it up and pretend that it's something that is not, to pretend that it's something not off-putting, pretend it's something not disgusting. But that's what it is, and that's what, that's the bottom line of what they're dealing with here, and it's the bottom line of, again, reflection of, you know, a decadent, sick, disgusting society.
Well, if it was a male doll, I mean, people would think it was even more weird. And I do find it weird that he wants to dress it up. I mean, that's a female urge to get a doll and dress it up. You know, it's why you see women with pets and they put clothes on their pets. And, you know, they like to dress, you know, some, if you'll let them, they'll try and dress their boyfriends as well. So I do find it strange that he's got this weird obsession with dressing this doll. Shelley, Darris and Camilla have been in a poly relationship for the last 18 months. And since Darris purchased Camilla, he has upgraded her eyes, increased how much weight she can hold on to, upgraded her shoulders, and had her insides custom made to fit him. I won't add to that.
I just threw up a little bit in my mouth with that. And we know what the whole she had to be upgraded on how much weight she could hold. That's because Shelley's we know in the why relationship. That is. Yeah.
I think what Camilla does for me is allow me to be a better husband to Shelley. I can be more involved in our marriage because I have Camilla to confide in, he said. Shelley added, our sex life is getting better every day whilst being in a relationship with her, but it's the emotional help that has been so noticeable. We are much stronger because we have her in our lives. Darris added, we understand how this can look to other people, but it's simple when you break it down. Shelley is everything I want in mind. Camilla is everything I want in body. And so if we are all together, we have a very happy life. And I think he's been quite honest there, isn't he? You know, he's saying the wife, you know, he doesn't want to have sex with her. The sex doll, that's got the body that he wants, not the wife. Yeah. That's all it boils down to, isn't it?
Yeah, that last statement was the only honest thing, basically, in the entire article. That last statement just blew up all of this crap about emotional, you know, he gets in touch with his feelings, talking to the, all of that nonsense just blew away. The last paragraph here. It summed it all up, you know. I mean, he can put up, I guess, with talking with Shelley, but you know, he just can't can't handle the other off-putting parts. So that's what the sex doll is for, and that's the honest conclusion. They could have skipped all of this jibber jabber about emotional support and emotional well-being and getting in touch with their feelings by sitting here talking to this piece of silicone draped stainless steel and just got down to that right there.
Well, I guess you can say at least he hasn't beaten either of them up yet, so it's not that bad. Well, thank you very much.
Camilla won't file domestic. She won't file domestic assault charges. You know, there will be no toll to be paid for Camilla because it'd just be property destruction.
It's just bonuses all round. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.